This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories.
Close Your Eyes by Warren Benedetto.
Will it hurt?
Molly asked. She watched as her father rolled the sewing needle between his fingers, its tip glowing orange-red in the heat of the flame. Her eyes welled with tears. Just a little, her father replied. The flickering candlelight sent eerie shapes dancing across the cluttered attic where Molly and her father were hiding for the night. Outside, the screeching calls of the shadow things rose and fell like whale songs made from rusted metal. They sounded close. Molly's father removed the needle from the fire, blew on it, then pinched it quickly a few times between his fingertips to check the temperature. Satisfied it wasn't too hot, he dipped the tip into the puddle of royal blue ink he had spilled from a broken ballpoint pen.
All right, give me your arm.
Can I hold Roger?
Molly pointed to the stuffed rabbit leaning against a dusty cardboard box.
Of course.
Her father bent down and picked up the toy. He handed it to Molly.
Squeeze him tight, okay? This might take a minute.
Molly nodded, then tentatively extended her arm towards her father. He turned her wrist toward the ceiling so that her forearm was facing up. After dipping the needle in the ink again, he poked the sharp tip into Molly's snow-white skin. Molly winced. She jerked her arm away.
Ow!
She cried.
It hurts!
I know. I'm sorry. But we have to do this, just in case.
In case of what?
Her father's eyes glimmered in the candlelight. He pressed his lips together in a sad smile.
It's just important you remember, okay?
His voice was scratchy. His throat sounded tight. Molly nodded.
Can we try again?
He asked. He grasped Molly's wrist and stretched her arm out straight. A whimper escaped her lips as he brought the needle close to her skin.
Hey,
he said gently. He looked her in the eyes.
What do we do when we're scared?
We go inside?
That's right. Can you do that now?
Okay.
Molly nodded. She searched her mind for a happier time, before the shadow things. She focused on the details, the sounds, the smells, the colors, until the memory was as vivid as the day it first had happened.
Good,
her father said. He dipped the needle into the ink once again.
Now, close your eyes.
Molly's lemon-yellow rain boots splashed into a giant puddle on the side of the road. A steady drizzle fell from the smudged charcoal sky, plastering the girl's hair to the side of her face and soaking the dirty stuffed rabbit she clutched in one tiny hand. Molly navigated around the husk of an abandoned car, overturned on the shoulder of the road, momentarily straying over the white line and into the lane. It didn't matter. No cars were coming. Not anymore. She could barely remember the last time she had seen one driving. As Molly passed the wreckage, she ran her fingers along the telltale gashes sliced through the side of the car. The damage ran the length of the vehicle, from the front wheel to the taillight. Something had cut through the metal like it was made from soft clay. Molly examined the edge of the gashes. They were rusty. That was good. It meant the damage had happened a while ago. The shadow thing that had attacked the car was probably long gone. Molly dropped to her hands and knees to peek through the shattered driver's side window, hoping to find something useful inside. Food, maybe, or a cigarette lighter, a blanket, a gun. But there was nothing. Just a rosary dangling upside down from the cracked rearview mirror. Molly sat back on her heels and wiped the water out of her eyes. She was soaked. She wished her raincoat still had a hood, but her father had cut it off ages ago. It was too dangerous, he said. It blocked her peripheral vision. She would need to see in case the shadow things attacked from the side. They usually did. Usually. At the thought of her father, Molly slid up the sleeve of her raincoat, revealing part of the tattoo he had hand-lettered on her forearm. She mouthed the words as she read them. 1. Run. 2. Hide. 3. Close your eyes. This is your mantra, her father had explained as he pressed the ink-tipped needle into her skin. This is how you survive. Just remember to do these things, and I promise you'll be safe. She hadn't understood at the time. Why did she need it tattooed on her arm? Why couldn't he just tell her to run when she needed to run, like he always did when the shadow things came? The two of them would hide together, their eyes squeezed shut to avoid the monster's deadly gaze, waiting until the creatures gave up searching for them and moved on to easier prey. A few months later, she found out why. She and her father had done everything perfectly. They ran, they hid, they closed their eyes. But that day, for whatever reason, her father had opened his eyes just a little too soon. It was only for a split second, barely more than a blink. But it was enough time for the shadow thing to burrow into his mind, to draw him out, to steer him helplessly into the open like some sort of puppet. Molly didn't see what happened, but she felt it. The rush of air as the shadow thing swung its blade, the wet squelch of the scythe eviscerating her father's body, the warm spray of his blood slapping across her face. Through it all, she kept her eyes closed. When she finally opened them, her father was nowhere to be found. All that remained was a dark stain on the ground, with drag marks that trailed into the woods and disappeared into the undergrowth. He was gone, and she was alone. Molly felt a sob building in her chest. She didn't want to be alone. She wanted to be home. She wanted to be in her backyard, swinging on the swing while her father cooked dinner on the grill. He'd be wearing his apron, the one that said, "World's Okayest Dad," flipping burgers with one hand while taking swigs from a can of Diet Coke with the other. She'd hear her brother sloshing in the baby pool while her mother nursed her newborn sister on the lawn chair nearby. They'd be together again, as a family, all of them, alive. A gust of wind drove a blast of stinging raindrops against Molly's face. The rain was falling harder. Before long, it would be a full-blown monsoon. Molly looked through the broken car window again. Water had pooled in an angled corner of the crushed windshield, but the back half of the car was dry. It would be a good shelter from the storm. Molly crawled inside, clutched her stuffed rabbit to her chest, and listened to the thunder as it rolled through the hills. It was still light outside when Molly awoke. She had dozed off, but not for very long from the looks of it. The downpour had subsided to a light gray sprinkle. The low ground fog drifted along the asphalt outside. Molly's stomach rumbled. She had to keep moving, to find another abandoned house or store from which she could scavenge some food. She would hunt if she had to. She had done it before, but she was hoping to find a cache of canned goods instead. Her father had warned that hunting should always be her last resort. It was dangerous. She could be hurt, even killed. With her stuffed rabbit in hand, Molly crawled out through the car window and into the road. She looked to her left and to her right, checking for anything dangerous that might be approaching from the sides. There was nothing. Satisfied that she was in the clear, she stood, yawned, and stretched her arms towards the sky. Suddenly, her yawn was cut off by an unexpected noise. A splash behind her. She froze, listening. The patter of raindrops on her jacket sounded like 1,000 tiny footsteps approaching from all directions. But under that, there was something else. A scraping sound, heavy and metallic, the sound of a blade dragging along the ground. The shadow thing. She heard her father's voice in her head. Run! Molly didn't hesitate. She bolted down the road, sprinting straight ahead at first, then curving into a parking lot of a gas station on her right. Her rain boots slapped on the ground, sending great geysers of muddy water up to her knees as she leaped over the median and slipped between the gas pumps. Something crashed behind her. An alien shriek of pain and rage pierced her eardrums. The sharp smell of gasoline stung her nostrils. She didn't look back. The bottom half of the gas station door was shattered. Molly ducked through the opening, her boots crunching on broken glass as she entered. It took a moment for her eyes to adjust to the dim light of the convenience store. The shelves were empty. The doors of the cooler stood open. A pair of bare feet, their skin mottled and gray, protruded from the end of one of the aisles. A dark red chunk of one heel was missing, seemingly gnawed off by some type of rodent. Hide! Molly scrambled behind the cashier's counter. The doors of the cabinet under the cash register were open. Molly pulled herself into the cramped space, then drew the doors closed behind her. The cabinet was dark, except for a sliver of light that slipped through the crack between the doors. Molly clutched her stuffed rabbit to her chest, then buried her face in its filthy fur and tried to muffle the ragged rasp of her breathing. Her heart pounded in her ears. She listened for the sound of the shadow thing. Broken glass crunched. The metallic scraping drew closer. The sharp odor of gasoline wafted through the air. A figure paused by the doors, blocking out the sliver of light. Molly's ears reverberated with the guttural, resonant clicking of the shadow thing. She recognized the sound. Her father had called it echolocation. It was searching for her. Close your eyes. Molly squeezed her eyes shut and willed herself to disappear, to fade into memory, to go inside, as her father used to say, losing herself in the happiest memory she could think of. The shadow things couldn't touch her there. She would be safe. She thought about the backyard, the smell of the grill, the splash of the pool, her brother's laugh, the wind in her hair as she swung on her swing, higher and higher, the whole world disappearing beneath her as she arced towards the brilliant blue sky. The scraping started again. This time, it was moving away. The gasoline smell faded. After a while, all that was left was the gentle drumming of the rain on the roof overhead. Molly opened her eyes and pressed her face to the thin seam of light between the cabinet doors. The shadow thing was gone. Quietly, Molly slipped from the cabinet and crawled over to the gas station window. She could see the shadow thing outside. Its back turned to her, moving slowly towards the street. Her stomach rumbled again, cramping with hunger. She slid up the sleeve of her raincoat, again reading the tattoo her father had placed there. 1. Run. 2. Hide. 3. Close your eyes. She slid the sleeve further up her arm. There was one last step. It was written in a different ink, in a different color blue. It read, 4. Attack. Her father had added it a few months after the first tattoo, shortly before he died. She remembered looking into his eyes as he pressed the needle into her skin.
We aren't scared of them anymore?
She asked. We are, he replied.
But now we know we can beat them. They're strong, but you're stronger. When the time is right, you know what to do.
Molly reached into her raincoat and drew out the long, curved blade that her father had salvaged from one of the shadow things they had killed. Strips of purple rubber, the remnants from her raincoat hood, were wrapped around the handle. The blade was stained yellow-brown with the shadow thing's blood. It looked like mustard, but the taste was surprisingly sweet, especially when it was fresh. Molly's stomach growled again. She gripped the blade's handle in her fist, then propped her stuffed rabbit up into a sitting position in the window. She would need both hands free for what she had to do next.
"You wait here," she whispered to the rabbit. "When I get back, we'll make a fire."
Her eyes narrowed as she looked out the window at the shadow thing.
"Then we'll eat."
Warren Benedetto writes short fiction about horrible people doing horrible things. His stories can be found in anthologies from Scare Street, Black Hair Press, Devil's Rock Publishing, Black Ink Fiction, Ghost Orchid Press, and Erie River Publishing. In publications such as Dark Matter Magazine, Sanitarium Magazine, and 365 Tomorrows. And on podcasts such as The No Sleep Podcast, Tales to Terrify, and The Creepy Podcast. For more information, visit www.warrenbenedetto.com and follow at Warren Benedetto on Twitter. Oh man, there is always something about kids being thrust into the end-of-world environments like this that just always gets me. Ever since the very start of Tall Tale TV, I have found these stories both disturbing and fascinating, and I've had quite a few of them, actually. And what a cool twist in this one. I mean, I have to say, I did not expect the hunters becoming the hunted in a story about a little girl with a stuffed rabbit. That's what I love about this channel, is I just get so many amazing concepts going my way. I had a ton of fun narrating this one. It was just very easy to get into the emotions, and I hope that came through. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to leave a thumbs up and a comment if you're on YouTube. Or if you're listening to the podcast, just be sure to subscribe for brand new short stories. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.